You know, I know this is an unsanctioned thankfulness time right now. Is it okay if I share mine? Is that okay? I know this is not during the thankful sharing time, but I'm going to take the beginning here and just share a couple things, if that's okay. I'm thankful for a ton, obviously. I mean, we're just so blessed. We're just so blessed. And I mean, you guys know, most of you guys know the story of me going back to school. I was able to finish my master's degree this past year. Very, very thankful for that. That whole thing came about, that was all God. That was all God through losing my job to going back to school and then completing it while, you know, starting another job. And how God worked through that and then for me to finish with high honors on top of that was just an inordinate blessing. I'm going to be forever thankful for that. You know, my wife obviously played a huge role in that. My family, and my pastor played a huge role in that as well. I'm very thankful for you, Pastor Tim, for not only encouraging me in that, but encouraging me to do this. you were always a big proponent of getting me up here and sharing God's word, even though I kind of resisted it first. It's been a great blessing for me to be able to do this a few times now. And so I thank you for your support for that. Thank you. I love you. But I love this time of year. You know, despite the weather, the holiday season is great for reminding us all what we're really, really thankful for. So this past week at Olympians, we did an activity called What Are You Thankful For? It's aptly named. We go around the room and we basically do what we're doing tonight. We ask the kids to bring in mementos, things that represent things that they're thankful for. We have a whiteboard that we put up, and we ask the kids to stand up in front of the room, like what we're doing now, and to share what they're thankful for and why. And it's actually downstairs if you guys want to take a peek at it afterwards. But they write down these things on the whiteboard. And at the end of the night, we have a table full of stuff and a whiteboard full of things that our kids are thankful for. And it warms your heart to look at these things. It really does. You see pictures of family and friends and Bibles and trinkets that have all these personal meanings to these kids. You see everything that's important to these kids. It makes you think to yourself. It makes you think about what you're most grateful for, just like tonight. And so as I pondered this question, what am I most thankful for? What should we be most thankful for? Dan kind of touched on this earlier. Where are you, buddy? There. Where's Dan? He's in the back of the room. There you go, buddy. You know, I tell the kids, I tell my own kids, I tell the Olympian kids, I say, you know, toys and gadgets, all these things, I mean, they're all fine and good for what they are, okay? Obviously, they can be bad, too, depending on how often you're focusing on them, but at the end of the day, is it what we are to be most thankful for? No, of course not, right? And as we look ahead to the food, the family, the fun that comes with the Thanksgiving holiday, I think it's helpful to remind ourselves about the attitude that we should have as Christians, the attitude that we should have, something that'll put our hearts in the right place, something that'll maybe put our minds on the right path as we celebrate Thanksgiving. And tonight, I just want to spend a few quick moments in Scripture, and I want to show you this in action. So if you have your Bibles tonight, let's open up to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. Very familiar verses. Very familiar. Give me a nice smile when you're there. Oh, look at all, look at all. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. You got it. What a bunch of nice smiles there. Verse 16 says this. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And here we have three really short verses. Okay, we have three commands, one right after the other. But it's a powerful reminder. It's a powerful reminder of what our attitudes should constantly be if we are Christians. All right, so let's quickly, I want to go through these real quick. Three major things, three major attitudes that we should have that just make up the Christian attitude, okay? It's going to put us in the right mindset for what we're doing tonight. And the first one is this, verse 16, is joy. Joy. Okay? Verse 16 simply says, rejoice always. Rejoice always. Now, to rejoice simply means to feel or have joy, right? Simple enough. So we're told here to rejoice. Well, why? It's a fair question. Why do we have joy? Why do we have joy? Earlier in the chapter, we're given some context to help us understand the source of this joy. Okay, so if you're still there on verse 16, go back a few verses. Go back to verse 9 of chapter 5. Verses 9 and 10. Okay, gives us some context. It says this, for God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. So why do we have joy? Well, because we have the salvation of Jesus Christ. If you believe in the life, the death, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and that he died for your sins, you are saved. You're saved from eternal punishment, right? If you believe in Jesus, you have the greatest gift ever. I like to say that to the kids a lot at Olympians. You have the greatest gift ever, right? The greatest gift ever. And having this gift, it should excite you, right? It should excite you. It should make you happy. It should fill you with joy. It should make you want to share that gift with others. You want to shout it from the mountaintops, right? It's an infinite gift. An infinite gift. And an infinite gift deserves infinite joy. Infinite joy. There's nothing greater. There's nothing greater. And because of the salvation that we have in Jesus Christ, because of the gospel, we should have joy that just permeates every fiber of our being. We should shine, right? We should shine with it. It'll explode out of us like light in the darkness. And notice here how it says, rejoice always, right? Always. We're going to touch a little bit on this in just a second too, but it says always, right? Not just some of the time, not just when we feel like it. All the time, always. Because you know what? This gift of salvation, it transcends our circumstances. Okay, the salvation that we've been gifted is still ours even when times are tough. It allows us to have joy even when the world tries to rob us of it, right? Because of the salvation of Jesus Christ, our joy is not only complete, it's overwhelmingly complete, right? Always and forever, no matter what. Amen. And if you're a Christian, there's no excuse for lacking joy. There just isn't. Rejoicing, having joy, it's the natural response to the gospel taking root in your heart. It's the natural response. So rejoice, Christian. Rejoice. Amen. Right? But there's more. Verse 17 goes on to say this. Pray without ceasing. So we have joy, but we also have prayer. Prayer, okay? This means, you know, to pray without ceasing, this means to simply never stop praying. Well, never stop praying. I mean, it's physically impossible to never stop praying, right? I mean, we have to sleep, and the Bible commands us to do other things, too, to do other great things for Him. But you know what? This isn't the most literal of literal statements, okay? The point of this verse isn't to always be sitting with your hands in your lap 24/7 and doing nothing else, right? We have to sustain our lives. We have to eat and stuff, too, okay? Paul is simply saying that prayer should be a way of life for the believer. Okay? Just as joy should be a way of life as our response to the gospel, to that salvation, to all of that, prayer, like joy, should be as natural to us as breathing. So I used this example last week with the kids, and I asked them to hold their breath only for a couple seconds. Don't worry. I'm not an animal. But I asked them to hold their breath. Now, when you hold your breath for too long, what happens? What happens when you hold your breath for too long? Yeah. Bad things start to happen, right? Yeah. Your brain can't function without oxygen, right? Your body begins to shut down. Pass out. I heard about 80 of you say that, right? When we go without prayer for too long, it's like suffocating our spirits. Okay? It's like twisting a kink into that hose, right? Cutting off that water supply. So it goes with prayer in our lives as well. Being a Christian means we are to live constantly aware that God is with us and that He's involved in our lives, in our thoughts, in our actions, okay? Prayer is that conduit that we have with God that helps our relationship with Him grow. We need prayer, okay? We need that connection. And I don't know about you, but when I go without praying for a while, and it happens, I get grumpy. You know, I get frustrated easier. I get discouraged a lot easier. I get worried. Yeah. And why is that? Because when we don't pray, our perspective shifts, right? It shifts from God to ourselves. My pride shines through. Right? My own motivations, my own plans, all these things. My own schemes and circumstances, I start to dwell on those. I begin to dwell there, and when something goes differently than what I planned, yikes, watch out, right? Not happy. And I panic because I'm only thinking about myself. Has that ever happened to you? Yeah. And when we pray, and more importantly, when we develop an attitude of constant prayer, prayer that is, you know, constantly aware of God's working in our lives, like I said, that pride suddenly fades away. And we go from stubbornly standing by ourselves like this to reverently bowing that knee to our Savior. Perspective, right? Perspective. Our hearts are transformed from seeking what our flesh desires to seeking what God desires. And that is the heart of prayer. That's the heart of prayer. And that's the attitude that comes from being a Christian, a believer, right? We have that joy, and we have that connection of prayer, being drawn to prayer. So lastly, we have verse 18, 5:18. Give thanks in all circumstances. And what does this mean? It means that our thankfulness for God does not depend on what we're going through. Okay? Our focus is on God, not on ourselves, like I said before. If things are going great, we give thanks to God because he's awesome. And if things are going really bad, we give thanks to God because he's still awesome. Because God doesn't change. He doesn't change, even if our lives do. And they do. Oh, they do. And God simply tells us later in the verse, this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And God doesn't have to give us a reason, right? He could have simply just said, because I said so. And that would have been fine. That would have been good enough, right? That would have been perfectly great. But he tells us that because of Jesus Christ, absolutely nothing we could possibly face should alter that attitude of thankfulness that we should have. No matter what is going on in our lives, no matter what we're going through, as believers, remember that we have something in this world that the world can never take away. That amazing gift of salvation given to us by Jesus Christ. And that should always fill our hearts with joy and draw us closer to him in prayer and fill our hearts with thankfulness. Joy, prayer, thankfulness. God's love for us, it results in our hearts being filled with love for him. And as a result, love for others. No matter what the world throws your way, nothing can take that away, that gift of salvation. Okay? That love that was fully and completely demonstrated on the cross. Romans 5:8, another familiar verse. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ what? He died for us. He died for us. And that's what it's all about. That's what it's all about, guys. It's good to be thankful for our families and our friends, for pets and food and roof over our head, clothes on our back. It's great to be grateful for all that. It is. We should be. We should be. But we also need to remember what makes all that possible. Right? The thread that ties all of that together is Christ. The greatest gift of all, Jesus Christ. And I pray that this week, every day, not just tomorrow, right? Not just Thanksgiving, every day. I pray that we would renew this attitude of joy and of prayer and of thankfulness in our own lives. Truly make the gospel the centerpiece of our lives. Everything we say and do. And whenever we ponder, I like how Jeff explained it earlier. Ponder. It's a great word. I love that. Whenever we ponder Jesus Christ, and I hope you do, our souls should just joyfully echo to their very cores, right? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. And we're about to sing How Great Thou Art, right? Thank you, Jesus. How great thou art. How great are you, Jesus? Thank you. That should echo in our souls. And may it be so for us tonight, tomorrow, this week, and every day for the rest of our lives. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, as we think about how great thou art, the words, thank you, God, they don't even seem like enough. Yet they're the words that come to mind. Thank you. Lord, thank you. Thank you that you're a God who's sovereign. Thank you that despite our sins, which separated us from you, that you still loved us enough to send your only begotten Son to die for our sins, to restore us once again to yourself. Lord, we didn't deserve it, but you did it anyway. Thank you. Such amazing love, such amazing grace, God. Thank you thank you for your great mercy that you've shown to us, that you showed us so completely on the cross. Thank you for making a way for us back to you. And thank you for the joy that we can have in our hearts because of Jesus. And we thank you that no matter what we go through, no matter what life throws our way, Lord, no matter what trials, tribulations that we face, that you are still good. You never change. And we thank you for the promise of forgiveness of our sins, Lord, when we sin against you. Lord, 1 John 1:9 tells us that when we repent of our sins, you are faithful to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Thank you that you never break your promises. Because of that, we can trust you in all things. Thank you doesn't feel like enough. But Father, you know it's all we have. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. We love you. Help us to live a life of gospel joy, prayer, thankfulness, full of love for you and other people. May we glorify you in all we say and do. And it's in Jesus' name we pray, that name that we are so, so thankful for. Amen.